Hey Janelle, how you doing? It's Sam from Just Talk with Sam podcast. Thanks for calling into to the podcast.
Wait, Sam, you what? Oh, okay, that's cool.
You shocked me. I gotta tell you straight up. You're in the podcast. This is the podcast right now. We've already started. All right. I don't want you to say nothing to incriminate yourself, but yes, I am a black guy.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, let's just.
I'm talking to today.
Okay. Well, I'm the first black guy you talked to today?
Yeah, I've had a couple of interviews before this.
Okay. Well, as the first.
I was shocked. I was like, oh, hey.
Oh, man. As the first black guy, I gotta like really represent. Nah, not like pressure's on.
Nah, because I told my, you know, it's a PR person that's setting all this up. And I had told her, can you give me some black people? So that's cool.
All right, well, here I am. But, I mean, let's just jump right to it. All right. But the whole thing is the PR person that you're alluding to is talking about the second annual Janelle James Comedy Festival.
That is correct.
December 5th through the 7th. Now, I saw the first year, and it was great. You had people drop in. My man Black Thought, he came through. You had.
You saw the first year, and meaning you were there, or you just saw?
I saw that. I wasn't there in person, but and that that's cool because you know I do my homework. I like you.
No, I wasn't done. I was just trying to find out. No, no worries.
No, real talk.
I mean, maybe I started this podcast off on the wrong foot. I'm sorry.
No, we good. No, I like this. I like this.
You black? Was you at my festival? No, Doug.
But real talk, I mean, like, you first came on my radar with, like, Night Train with Wyatt Cenac, and then
I start working backwards.
On all things Janelle James to catch up, then start rocking with you from there. And the comedy festival was one of the things that kind of stood out because now this originally was the Eugene Merman Comedy Festival. Then he quit. Did you just like walk up to him? Can I have it?
Well, he didn't quit, but he did it for 10 years, so he's allowed. He didn't like, I'm just not doing it anymore. He, you know, 10 years is a good time to stop. He got all that Bob Seger's money, so he cool. And, yeah, I was like, can I have it? Basically.
Oh, that's sweet. All right.
I mean, I'm not a stranger to him. I've done his festival many times, and I was there at the last one when he told me, so... I was just like, oh, well, that sucks, because it was one of my favorite things to do when I did it.
But now it's your festival. I mean, like,
now
you the guy. You are it. You are on the poster that I'm currently looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious, from first year to second year, what did you learn? Like, some of the do's, don'ts?
I mean, last year went pretty smooth. I have a really good producer that I'm working with that I've known for years. He's one of the first people actually to book me on a show in New York, period. So I've known her for a decade, and she's just good at what she does. I tell her all my wacky ideas, and she makes it happen. So it really, with a festival, I mean, I'm type A, so I like shit done how I want it done, and that's going to happen. The only real stress is having people come out. You know what I mean?
That's what's up, yeah. You got a great lineup, like Sam Morril, Jabuki Youngwhite, Hadia Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, these ain't no slouches, so.
Right. But, you know, sometimes people feel like, oh, if I haven't heard of somebody, then they must not be good, or only famous people are good, and that's the thing that you're always fighting against when you put on events like this, because I want people who are, you know, may not be, you know, super well known, but they should be, you know what I mean? And that's
right.
What Eugene did for me. Like, when I was doing Eugene's festival, I wasn't well known, but me being on his festival and him giving me that, like, that cred helped me do more shows in the New York scene, because people were like, oh, Eugene vouched for her, so she must be the shit. Let me take a look, or let me put her on my show, da da da. And that's what I'm trying to do for other people. So
that makes sense. I mean, like,
yeah.
In your comedy beginnings, I mean, like, you started in the Midwest. You know, we from mm-hmm. the Midwest. I'm from Detroit. I mean, like, so you know what it is to be that, I want to say, perpetual club comic until someone kind of, like, give you that stamp, give you that, like, all right,
yeah,
roll with me.
Yeah, comedy and comedy is a lot of it is word of mouth. Like, if your peers like you, then you'll do well. So that's how it goes. So, yeah, nice. I just want some serious killers and, yeah, just to show that, I mean, and my goal is to have fun, but it also works out that people realize, like, oh, just because this person doesn't have a Netflix special, that doesn't mean that they're not good or that it's not coming. Why not see people when you can still afford to see them?
Hey, that's real. That's real. That's real.
Myself included.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you brought that up because people took a chance on you. Some of the people you didn't tour with was Hannibal Buress, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, among many other people. Yep. I'm curious, what did you learn from them that you still use?
What I learned from them, I've been lucky in that those are, like, some pretty big people, you know what I mean? So those are, like, extravagant tours. But, I mean, I toured with Hannibal from the time before Broad City up until his current level of fame. So just to see us go from, like, the La Quinta to the Hilton was crazy. And just, like, it's doing the road is a thing unto itself, and I'm glad I did it. For each comedian that you tour with, just see how they handle their business, how their tour is set up, you know, how their travel schedule is, how they deal with being on the road versus being at home, how you can set it up so that you don't go crazy and you're not on the road 365, like all those things is what I watch. But so that's what I pay most attention to. I don't really pay attention to people's acts that much because I don't want to be influenced in any way.
Makes sense. I'm curious, like, did you always want to do comedy growing up? Or did
not
you...
at all.
Really?
I had no idea.
What pushed
how you become a comedian? I always thought it was like some old white dude comes up to you like, you're going to Hollywood, kid, or something. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be like, overhears you being funny in the store or some shit, like, discovers you. That's how I always thought it was. And I had no idea. I mean, I knew, like, five, Richard Pryor, with Chris Rock, you know, the Eddie Murphy, but I didn't know that they were, like, thousands of comedians performing and making a living. So I had no designs on it at all.
Now, one thing I did read back in your past, like, growing up, you come from, like, the fashion world, which don't really...
I mean, that's what I originally did when I got out of high school. I went to fashion school, and I worked in fashion for 9 years before falling into comedy. So, yeah, it definitely wasn't something that I... Ever since I was a girl or whatever the hell. It's just something I fell into.
Hey, those worlds don't really cross. What made you jump from, like,
one day?
That
really, really, really. It's so unglamorous. I really just got invited to an open mic, and the person I was with at the time, he had always told me that I was funny, and he was like, you should go. And I was just like, okay. I just went to watch and watched a bunch of dudes back to back, and I was like, well, I'm funnier than them. So I did it the next week, which is how everybody, I think, starts. You see somebody, and you're like, I can do better than that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, and I just started it next week, and I was just really like that. I just really clicked. I remember, like, my first big laugh. I was like, oh, so I guess this is what I do now. Like, I had that thought. Like, it just, yeah. So, and I just never stopped. And once I decide I'm doing something, I'm very full steam ahead with it. So,
yeah, very self-propelled. I get that. Now, one thing I want to know.
All this shit is. It's all self-motivated. Nobody's asking me to do anything.
hey, sometimes you got to be your own boy. I get that.
Not sometimes, it's all the time.
Do you
stand up? Everything is self-motivated.
Do you carry that with you, though? Like, that fashion background? Do you try to be super fashionable? Be like?
Oh, please, no. I've dropped all that. I'm so exhausted. I was thinking, well, you know, just recently, in the last couple of years, I haven't done the road as hard. First of all, being fashionable on the road, kudos to whoever does that. But I'm not dragging suitcases from Wichita to Idaho, trying to be fly in middle America. It doesn't make sense to me. So now I've kind of calmed down in the world. I've been taking writing jobs and stuff like that. I've started like, oh yeah, let me looking at closet again. But no, I was definitely a sweat person for about 8 years.
Trying to
do comedy and also just live in a male environment. I'm not trying to invite no bullshit. So,
makes sense.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I want people to focus. I wanted people to just focus on the jokes. Don't worry about what I'm wearing. And then when I do decide to be cute, then it's like even a extra surprise. Like, oh, shit.
She can do this. Alright, now, hold on. I'm finna go against everything you just said, because you didn't want people to, like, pay attention to what you were wearing. But I'm one of those guys. I'm sorry. But, like, during your web series, you wear a lot of onesies. What's up with that?
Well, that's unfashionable.
That's what I mean, you cover that back.
That actually makes my point in that I'm wearing the most comfy things. But yeah, with the onesies, I was trying to convey, I mean, those were my own personal onesies, but I was trying to just convey that I was a layabout, basically.
Okay. But which is pretty cool, because, like, I don't know how this is a ham-fisted way to segue this question, but just walk with me. With this one, like, going back to the web series, and like I said, I did some homework to catch up. Your comedy has kind of changed as you got more comfortable, if we could use that word. Like, you used to be like very self-reflective. Now it's more, I guess, observational, maybe a little, for lack of a better term, goofy type comedy. Was that a...
You said what now?
Yeah, like your comedy start when you started.
What did you say? Now it's what? Booby?
I said goofy. like
we. Oh, goofy.
Yeah. Is my mic on? Hold on, let me.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree or disagree, I guess. I mean, yeah, I would hope that over the course of 9 years, your comedy would change.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Now, here's some things I've read. And you can confirm or deny these things. This is the internet. So let me just jump right into this, okay?
Is this some, like, gotcha question?
I want to say no, but some of this stuff do ride that line. I'll give you a heads up. Some of that stuff do ride that line. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those gotcha type of dudes. It's just kind of like, when you see this, you're like, no, let me ask her about this. This is something that came up where I was just like, I don't know. So I want you to be the source, confirm and deny. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. One thing I read is that you really enjoy your bombs. So much so that you put it on Facebook so the world can see you bomb one night when you did comedy.
I don't remember putting a bomb on Facebook. yeah, so that's not true. I don't even care what you call it. But I do enjoy bombs. It depends on what I'm going through at the time. Like, it's not that I enjoy bombs. First of all, let me also say, I don't really bomb no more.
Okay. But, get that out there.
But I think a coping mechanism for comedy when you're starting out and as you move along is you have to kind of, in a masochistic way, enjoy the vomit, or you won't continue. You have to, like, lean into it and feel those feelings, or you'll quit. So that's really what I was trying to say, and it maybe came out that way.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, so that's what that is. It's like, oh, this feels horrible, and acknowledging that, and then continuing to do it anyway.
Okay, now, I got three more of these. These ain't gotcha, but I read this. You the source. This is your life.
Okay.
This is your life.
Okay.
All right, is it true you once made out with Lenny Kravitz?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yo! I do it by heart. That was false. Sorry, I
used to be really hot, but...
You are, right? I mean, yeah, like, sure. All right, but please, get into that.
I didn't say that for you to hype me back up. I'm No.
This is just great. We just get into it. I got you.
Yeah, but that's true. I was a big Lenny Kravitz fan, tracked him down at the concert, got picked to go backstage, and made out with him.
Yo.
One of the high points of my life, I guess. I don't even think about it as much as people ask me about it, but when it's brought up, I'm happy.
Okay. All right. I got two more where I'm just like, this is the internet. Is it true? Mm-hmm. As a child of the 90s, I used to listen to this album all the time, but is it true from Vinny from Naughty Ball Nature broke your bed?
Yes.
I know that sounds very salacious. Okay, first, but okay, how?
He body slammed me on it.
Yo. That's better than what I was thinking.
Just fucking around.
Oh my god. See, I thought it was the other thing, but alright.
No.
Okay, alright. I got one more. Let's just alright, this is just stuff I read on the internet.
And also I just wanted to say too, it's like it wasn't even hard to break it. This is like my first couple years in New York. I had one of them like just a cheap in bed.
Like the IKEA boys.
I bought that bed. I got like a hand me down bed and he body slammed on it.
Like the Allen Wrench IKEA boys or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, yeah. You
waiting to break.
Yeah, you can breathe on those. Yeah, okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Now, here go the one. Here go the doozy. And I already think this is false, but it's your life. You used to be a dominatrix?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, I don't know why people trip so hard off of that, but I guess people are still all tight about sexuality. But yeah, I'm a grown-ass woman. I used to be a dominatrix. Sure.
No, it's not the sexuality thing. It's just like, okay, I'm just going down your resume. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
You came from a fashion background. Lord knows mm-hmm. what you did before that. Then you was mm-hmm. a dominatrix. Then mm-hmm. you hung out with all
some
the stars of the 90s.
Overlap.
Huh?
Some of these things overlap. So it's not like it was then and then and then. Some of these things all happened around the same time. Yeah.
And then, like...
Basically when I was younger.
I mean, like, when you read them on a sheet of paper, it's like, all of these things happen, and then it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm having a comedy festival. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, when I think about it, and when I think about other people, too, like, I started comedy relatively late for people. Like, so, like, Chappelle was doing it when he was 19. Da, da, da. I had a whole-ass life before I started this, and I think that's what made me...
Clearly.
And makes me a good comic. I've lived a lot of lives. I know who I am. I have my thoughts. I got to skip all the what is life type shit. I know what life is. So people like wonder like, oh, or not wonder, because I don't think I rose really fast or anything, but a lot of people think that I came out of nowhere, and that's part of it, is that I was already grown by the time I started this. So I had no self-deprecation or self-esteem issues or anything like that that you have to go through when you're like in your early 20s when you start comedy, when you're just like, I don't know my voice. I knew my voice when I started.
Okay.
That was very helpful. Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you're looking at my notes, but watch this. Watch this journalism. Speaking of knowing your voice, you are now hosting the Strong Black Lives podcast. I saw that.
That is correct.
And that has to be, like, I got a chance to look on your IG and see it. And you're a first-time podcaster. But one of the cool things about podcasting, and I've been doing this for about 10 years, one thing I love about it that you can't fake, you are genuinely having a great time talking to your people you didn't look up to, people that's your colleagues right now. How does it feel?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I genuinely have a great time doing everything. So the way I have tried to craft my career path is I don't do anything I don't want to do. I only do things I'm excited about. And that was one of those things. So it was great. I got a say in who I interviewed. I never interviewed anybody before, so I was doing it mad casually. I'm like, you know, I want to know. I was asking questions I want to know. So, and just really trying to give people a chance to talk. I feel like a lot of comedians like Lunell and Bruce Bruce and stuff, like I've never seen real interviews with them talking about their background and how they started and things like that. It's all very like real jokey, or the host is trying to joke over them or who's funny and all that. And I didn't want it to be that experience. And they all seemed really appreciative of that. You know, that it wasn't some Hollywood interview, like, what's your favorite food and all that bullshit. We just sat down and had a convo, and I think, yeah, it came out real well.
It's funny you mentioned that. I'm sorry if this seems very self-congratulatory or whatever, but Lunell stopped by here a couple weeks ago. And
it's not cool.
And yeah, she's just, everything you just said, it was just,
yeah.
I want to call it an interview because I'm not smart enough to think of a word to me, but it was just a great talk. It was just a great conversation.
Yeah, it was a chat, and that's what after I spoke to her, that's what she said. Like, yo, thank you for being like a real person and not, you know, this wasn't no bullshit that felt like a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I want for everything I do. My festival, my comedy. I don't want people to come out and see my comedy and think they wasted their time. I don't want them to come to the festival like this is a waste of time. You know, so everything I do is with that in mind. Like, just being respectful of people's time and money and headspace. Now, that's what I want for me.
Now, getting back to the comedy festival, I got to know, how do you feel now? Because now you, even though you started a little bit later than most, but now you're like a mentor to younger comics. How do you take that mantle? Oh, okay. You just answered my question.
Well, I mean, it's flattering, but at the same time, I'm like, nigga, let me get somewhere before you start. You know, you lay down the foundation. Like, let me get up on the foundation. Let me get my pieces together, my wood and nails and shit before you start, you know, putting me on that, yeah.
All right, then. All right. You just answered my question. But
yeah, it's flattering, but at the same time, like, I ain't got no power. I can't do nothing for you. But I'm still trying to get there. So, I mean, I get it, but it's just, I mean, I feel like even more than age difference or whatever, I just have an air of looking like I know what I'm doing. So that's what people gravitate to.
Yeah, you said it yourself, you lived a life. So, yeah, I think you do. I would just bet you just did.
And really, I mean, that time I don't. I just do it, though. Fuck it.
Okay.
You know?
Hey, that,
we all gonna die one day.
It's been working this long? Go ahead.
Yeah.
But once
who gonna stop me? Exactly.
You? We talked about this earlier. Exactly. Self-propelled.
Exactly. So that's why I do it. Yeah, who gonna stop me except me?
But, and that's where I know I'm eating up a little bit of your time, but I just wanted to say thank you for calling in to the podcast.
Yeah.
I wish you the best in all of your endeavors, your ever-expanding resume, because I don't know what you're going to be tomorrow.
We ain't even cover half the shit I'm done, so that's...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was just like, let me just... Like, you know when you write these questions for interviews? You're a podcaster now. You know what's up. When you write these...
I mean, I'm guessing a lot of comedians listen to this podcast.
Good amount.
Yeah, I would say that if your whole life is comedy, then you're not a good comedian. You got to get out and experience shit and do other shit and love and laugh and cry and shit. So you have shit to talk about, or you don't sound like everybody else. And so that's what I strive to do. Like, comedy ain't my whole life. I got other shit popping that isn't about chasing the bag. It's about just living life, and it makes taking the time to do comedy enjoyable. That's why you see me having a good time and it don't feel like a job. You know,
that's real.
If anybody want to look up to me as a whatever, a mentor or whatever, that would be my one piece of advice.
All right, cool. All right, well, I want you to catch all of those gems at the second annual Janelle James Comedy Festival going on December 5th.
Come out. Everybody, just the reason I'm doing it again, and I didn't have to, and I don't make much money from this. That's another thing I want people to be clear of, because I'm paying the comedians, which is a thing y'all, I know you know, ain't the norm for festivals or shows, period. I'm paying all the comedians well, so I'm taking a hit for myself. The reason I'm doing it again is because everybody last year was so happy, and it just made me happy. So let's do it again.
All right, hey, Eugene did a 10. I mean, this the same reason you probably end up doing a 45. Who knows?
I don't know. I ain't promising nothing. I'll drop out whenever. I'll drop shit like ain't nothing, so I don't want to say that. I get bored easily, as you see.
Clearly. But Janelle, thank you so much for calling the podcast. I want everybody to hit you up on all your socials. Janelle Comic. Janelle, Twitter
Janelle
is
J Comic on Twitter. Just put my name in. Janelle, two L's and an E. And Google it, all my shit come up. I'm online talking shit, just like every other comedian.
All right, cool.
And, yeah.
And I'll make sure I put this with the post with the podcast so people
watch my Netflix. Watch my what else?
You know what?
Yeah, watch listen to Strong Black Class when it comes out.
You know what?
Watch me tonight on True TV, Laugh Track, something that I'm supposed to promote. I don't remember. I'm out. Yeah, I'm out there.
Yo. When you talk about having a good time, I just looked at my like sheet. All your stuff is there, and we just been having such a good time. I was supposed to say all of it. You know what? Here's what I do. I was just working in post. I was just working all the. You know what? Everything can be found at JanelleJamesComedy.com. Everything.
That is correct. That is correct.
All right, Janelle. Thank you so much for calling into the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sam.
All right. Bye.